It's the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast. Here we go. With Malia Jacobson as your host.
Hi there, Malia here. Just a quick note. For August, I am posting short Q&A episodes featuring questions that I've received as a sleep columnist for Parent Map magazine and other publications, as well as questions that I've received from readers and listeners over the years. And these are going to be running throughout the month of August while I am taking some time to prep for another year of distance learning and do some traveling with family. I hope you enjoy this one. Here you go. Hello, and welcome to another Ask Malia mini episode of the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast. I'm your host, sleep and health journalist Malia Jacobson. I hope you are doing well in this sunny month of August. I am enjoying this gorgeous weather that we're having in the Pacific Northwest, getting ready for some vacation time with family, and I'm doing surprisingly well considering that I had a 3:30 a.m. wake-up call this morning from a child who was having trouble sleeping, and then I was having trouble sleeping and just couldn't get back to sleep. But I am trucking along and doing fine today. I think that's just the power of coffee, I guess. And I am really, really enjoying the summer, and I hope that you are too. So before I get into the Q&A section of today's mini episode, which will focus on helping kids and adults adjust to time zone travel, I wanted to give an update to the Q&A that we had 2 weeks ago, the listener call-in with Sierra, who had a nearly nine-month-old who was waking at 4 a.m. in the morning, and she was at her wit's end wanting to get him back to a more livable, workable schedule. So she talked that through with me on the episode, and then just yesterday emailed me with this update. Hi, Malia. I just have to say thank you. He is now going to bed between 7 and 8 p.m. and sleeping until around 6 a.m. The other morning, 6:45, I was shocked. This is so much better than the 4 a.m. wake-up call. He still needs that third cat nap to make it through until bedtime, but it's a quick one, and when we wake him, he's so happy. I also wake him from his first nap to encourage the restorative sleep during the second nap, and that has worked well for him too. I can definitely live with this and maintain our new schedule. Thank you again. From a well-rested mama. So I am so happy for them. She has done such a great job, and I am thrilled that that worked out. So very, very happy to hear from Sierra. And thanks for the update. So today's question comes from my Winx column in Parent Map magazine, and it deals with adjusting to a new time zone when you're traveling. I know some people are not traveling much this summer. Others are doing safe, socially distanced vacations, and other people are traveling for essential reasons. So if any of those apply to you, you may be wondering about helping your kids adjust to a new time zone. And that is a question that I get pretty frequently. Should I adjust my kids' sleep to deal with the new time zone? Should I just keep my child on their regular schedule? How can we make this work for us while we're on vacation? So sometimes when we're traveling, it makes sense to just relax our rules and routines around sleep a little bit. As parents, it can be nice to take a break from having a really strict or a more detailed schedule and routine, and that works well for you. And if that does, that is great. It's nice to have a break sometimes. For other people, you might find that vacations are not as much fun when your kids don't sleep. And in those cases, it's worthwhile to put just a little bit of thought and effort into maintaining a schedule or routine or some version of that so that your child can be happy, so that they can more or less enjoy your vacation, so that they are doing well and able to enjoy the company of your family or whomever you're visiting, whatever activities you have planned for your vacation. So yes, vacations are more fun when everyone can at least be somewhat well-rested. So with that in mind, it's helpful to include sleep essentials in your packing list while you're thinking about your trip. So for young kids, for babies and toddlers, you'll want to bring things that help create that restful home-like atmosphere when you're at your destination. So you can bring your white noise machine, your child's comfort items, special stuffed animals, blankets. You might want to consider your baby monitor, and a temporary blackout curtain. So a flat black sheet works great for this. And there's also temporary blackout curtains that suction cup to windows. And those are available at big box home stores. And I think they're around $6. So those are easy to find. For older kids, you probably won't need as much gear, but you do want to help them think about things that they're going to need to fall asleep easily in your vacation space. So keep in mind that hotel rooms are often hot and stuffy at night, whereas campgrounds and those types of environments are often cooler at night. I know many times when I'm looking at the weather forecast for a vacation destination, I clock the high, but I don't always pay attention to the low temperature. So it's a good idea to look at what the low temperature will be at your destination, because that's what you'll be dealing with at night. And to that way you can make sure that your child has the right kind of pajamas, clothing, and gear for whatever environment you'll be experiencing at night. And then just make sure that you also have whatever your child needs to maintain their normal wind down routine at the end of the day. If they like looking at books, if they have a book that they're reading, make sure that you bring that. If they need their journal or a few comfort items, go ahead and pack those. It will make life a lot easier. And then you can decide whether to adjust your kids' schedules to the new time zone for the trip. So for short trips, under a week, it's probably easiest to keep kids on their home schedule for their nap times and their bedtimes. But if you'll be gone a week or longer, it is a good idea to adjust to that new time zone. And this can be done pretty easily, and kids generally adjust very quickly within a day or two, and then they'll be able to get back on track pretty quickly when you get back home. So it is worthwhile to make that adjustment if you're going to be gone for longer than a week. So you can do this by nudging your child's schedule in the right direction, starting a few days before you leave. So if your travels are going to take you east to an earlier time zone, you're going to want to start waking your child up earlier in the morning, and then this will help them fall asleep earlier at night. So around a week before you leave, you're going to want to begin waking your child up about 15 to 30 minutes earlier in the morning and continue until you've adjusted their routine by about an hour to an hour and a half. Any more than that, and you're probably looking at a pretty big schedule disruption before you even leave on your trip. You can get your child adjusted the rest of the way onto the new time zone after you get to your destination. But again, if you're going to be going east, you'll want to wake your child earlier in the morning. And I know that people do not like waking their kids up, but it will pay off. And of course, you can always use an alarm clock to make the alarm clock the bad guy, and you can then step back a little bit. If you're westward bound, you want to keep kids awake for about 30 to 45 minutes later each night, encouraging them to sleep in, and that will prep them and their biorhythms so that they are able to handle those later nights that they'll be experiencing on the trip. And again, you want to go gradually. And so about a week before your trip, start allowing them to stay up later, advancing that time by about 15 minutes per night. And then once you get to an hour or two adjustment, if you make it that far in your time zone adjustment before your trip, that's probably good enough. You don't want to be disrupting your schedule too much before you leave, but making those adjustments will help your child handle the later bedtimes without melting down. You'll be able to enjoy dinners and evenings without the effects of the time zone travel, meltdowns, crying, and the crazy bedtimes that can result. So that's it. That is the simple way that you can help your child adjust to a new time zone and so that you can enjoy your trip and everyone can keep sleeping smoothly. As you're traveling to your destination, you do want to try and keep your child on their regular nap schedule. So this is a question that I get for people with children who are still napping. If you're taking a long road trip or you have an all-day plane experience to get to your destination, a nap will very likely come into play. So it's helpful to just on that travel day, keep your child on their regular nap schedule. Trying to adjust the nap schedule on the fly and cope with the demands of actually getting from point A to point B is just too complicated. So don't worry about that. Just let your child nap. Don't let them sleep all day. Don't encourage them to sleep for the entire trip if it's during the day, unless you want them to stay awake all night. Allow them to sleep when they would normally sleep. If you're traveling at night, encourage them to sleep when they would normally sleep. And then continue with your time zone adjustment when you reach your destination. So regardless of whether you adjust to the new time zone or if you decide to keep your kids on their normal schedule during your trip, you can just expect things to take a couple of days to smooth out. You might have a few tired days when you reach your destination, but with just a little bit of prep, you can stay a few steps ahead of that tiredness and help everyone have a happier and more well-rested trip. So there you have it. I hope this is helpful. If you have any other questions, you can always reach out to me at Malia@sleepwellstaywell.com. You can also follow the podcast on social media at SleepWellStayWell on Facebook and Instagram and SWSW Podcast on Twitter. Show notes are at SleepWellStayWell.com. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope you have a great week. I will see you next week, or you will hear me next week, I guess. Until then, please sleep well and stay well. Bye-bye.
It's the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast, now you know. Thanks for checking out the show.